First of all, how are you today?
Wonderful.
Oh, very good.
And coming up there.
Yeah, let's get right into that then. You are coming up for a special benefit for the Central Library, and of course, you're from Buffalo. Maybe before we get into what you're going to be performing and what we can expect, maybe just talk about your connection to the local library here from your days in Buffalo.
Well, for years I knew that they had the original manuscript of Huckleberry Finn up there, and so I finally got around to getting up there last fall, and I was impressed with it. The handwriting does bear a sharp resemblance to Hal Holbrook's handwriting, but that's just me. But yeah, and as far as Buffalo goes, I mean, I've been indebted to Buffalo for years. I owe them big time. Buffalo gave me life. And a life. They gave me life. I was born there, and they gave me a professional life when WNED gave me a show which ran for 30 years. It's been off the air for 10 years, but I'm still living off the thing. Wherever I go, people remember the show. And they don't say we saw the PBS or the, sometimes they say cable, but they always say that show you did in Buffalo.
Hmm.
So it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, well, very pleased about that. And I'm also very pleased to be talking to you here, of course, from the corner of Lower Terrace and Mark Russell Way in downtown Buffalo. And I can't say I've been able to do that with any other interview I've had over the years.
The sign is still up, is it?
It has not been stolen or knocked over yet by a snowplow.
I always try to check it out. The amazing coincidence, right at that spot there where WNED is where my immigrant great-grandfather had a business right there, Russlander and Sons. And that building was there for like a century. It was one of the few companies in Buffalo that were 100 years old. And so the torch was passed and the circle is closed and all of that stuff. So I'm glad the sign is still there.
But yet, all you can say the circle has been closed and such. But you keep performing, and you're coming to Buffalo. Let's talk about what we can expect to, during the performance at the library.
Well, I'm going to be doing a regular show. We'll talk about all the political things and the campaign and all that. And as we're speaking now, and I like to play off the news. I'm looking at the Washington Post today, where I live in Washington. There's a Tom Tolles cartoon in there about global warming, and it shows the United States, the little United States, is on a barbecue grill, and it's burned to a crisp. And I thought, well, another way of looking at that, if global warming is an exact science, Buffalo would have been the new Maui by now. And also, there's a piece about Tsar Vladimir the First, Mad Vlad Putin. Putin has become a punchline, and he, and by the way, Ukraine is one of those growing lists of cities that most Americans can't find on a map, but it doesn't matter because nobody in their family is going to be drafted and deployed to Ukraine. So Putin goes in there, and he tells the people in Crimea, he says, you're no longer in Ukraine now, you're in Russia. And with that, a young man comes running into the house. He says, Papa, Papa, guess what? We're no longer in Ukraine. We're in Russia. And the old man says, thank God those winters were killing me.
There's a joke that a Western New Yorker could most certainly appreciate. What about, I know you get this question asked a lot, but when you go back to the time when your show first started on WNED and compare it to now, can you talk about the political climate in Washington? I mean, there's so much talk about partisan bickering. It's not something that's new, but is it really that much worse?
It seems to me it's worse, and at the same time, people are nostalgic about the great old days of the when the Democrats and Republicans would sit down over the proverbial bourbon and branch water and work things out and all of that. That's gilding the lily a little bit. I just saw that play in New York about Lyndon Johnson All the Way. And there were no happy times. There were no perfect times. There were no pleasant times. But this is pretty nasty. I mean, the Republicans were hoping that they could get to November without another gaffe, without one of their own talking about legitimate rape and so forth. And then the other day you had this state senator from Tennessee comparing Obamacare to the Holocaust.
Mm.
And so, you know, the saying is, really, you can't make this stuff up. Well, you, some of this stuff you wouldn't dare to make up.
Mm. And also, I'm curious about, you mentioned you're reading the Washington Post this morning. Now, have you made the switch to online, or are you still getting your papers delivered to your home?
No. I'm laughing because the only electronic device in my house I know how to use is the toaster. I can download toast. Or I guess it's upload toast. No, I'm a print guy, newspaper, and it's interesting to see how the television plays off what was in the paper that day. So, no, I'm computer illiterate and proud of it. One of the jokes I do, what do you call it when a texting pedestrian is run over by a texting motorist? I call it making my day.
I can appreciate that for sure. I also see that you are also writing some work for children these days as well. That's kind of an interesting jump from a man who wrote about politics for so long, or is it maybe not all that different?
Yeah, some people would say, well, the stuff I write is childish anyway. I did a couple of children's musicals for the Kennedy Center here. It was a commission by the White House Historical Association. And I worked with a playwright, and I did the songs. And it was about Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt is in the White House, and he's working with the Russians to work out a peace treaty after the Russian-Crimean War. And his children are bothering him. They were rambunctious kids, and they're all over the house with their goats and their bicycles and things. And so they're an annoyance. And so Teddy Roosevelt works out a treasure hunt for them. And I did a couple of those. And we tried to alert the Teddy Roosevelt people in Buffalo, but they couldn't get around to a book. The show played about 30 cities.
Mm.
And that was fun to do. And so that was one of the things I did. It's funny, getting back to Mark Twain. Mark Twain wasn't kidding when he said he thought Teddy Roosevelt was certifiably insane. I'll tell you, some of my favorite Mark Twain things are things that were so offensive and too hot to handle by the publishers that he said, all right, you know, then don't publish it till 50 years after I die. And one was a satire on the Bible, and it was beautifully irreverent. You know, he talked about the sanitation problems on Noah's Ark. And I never thought about that. You know, he said among the passengers on the Ark were microbes, and their heaven was the large intestine.
Oh,
and then he wrote this poem, he said, constipation, oh constipation, thy joyful sound proclaim, till man's remotest entrail shall praise its maker's name. And it was years after he died, he finally got around to publish it. And another one of them, he said, there is no good government at all, and none is possible. And another way of saying that, and I thought of this, was there are millions of mediocre people in this country, and they are well represented in Washington.
Mm. Well stated. The you mentioned Mark Twain a couple of times here during our conversation. I'm curious, I want to take this in both directions, but first, do you feel a connection to him as a political satirist here now in the 21st century? I mean, do you feel a connection to him?
Well, I feel, I don't know if connection's the right word. I mean, to compare me with Mark Twain would be a joke in itself, but just as a participant, just being in the game. Matter of fact, I retired a couple of years ago, and I was so bored I came out of retirement when a bunch of congressmen went over to the Middle East, and they got drunk, and they went skinny-dipping in the Sea of Galilee. And I thought, that's pretty funny. And I thought, if they had all drowned, it would be even funnier. just to do it. I have a personal Mount Rushmore. I mean, in my Mount Rushmore exists only in my head. And in my Mount Rushmore are the faces of Mark Twain, Will Rogers, Mort Saul, and the late great columnist Art Buchwald, who, whenever he was asked how many newspapers he was in, he'd say, 435, all in Nebraska. And Mort Saul, there's a quote of his at the Spy Museum here in Washington. It's engraved on the wall. It's a wonderful quote. It was during the Cold War, and Mort Saul said, "We are now on an even keel with the Russians. Whenever they arrest an American, we arrest an American."
Mm. What about the modern political satirist? I think about you, and of course, you know, your ascendancy came on public TV, but now cable TV has they're just full of people who are satirists or satirizing the news. And, you know, you think of Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert. What are your thoughts on them?
Well, there are, I think we have enough. There's a lot of work to be done, and it's a group effort. But Stewart and Colbert, they are the gold standard at the moment. They both did a show down on the National Mall here in Washington, and that mall was almost as crowded as it was the day that Obama was first sworn in. And it's funny because for a long time here in D.C., we didn't get the cable channel. I guess we figured C-SPAN would suffice, you know. And so, and people kept asking me about Jon Stewart, and I wasn't familiar. I had never heard him. And finally, we got the show, and I watched. And he said something. It wasn't really political. It was almost an off-the-cuff remark in passing. But he said that the blacks invented jazz and the whites turned it into Kenny G.
Oh.
I thought, wow, this guy is pretty hip here. Got my attention. And Colbert, the thing with the character and all that, people are wondering how this is going to be when he replaces David Letterman and he does away with the character. It's confusing to people. But when you do, I've spoken to people who've done the show, and he'll sit them down. And he said, "Now you must understand that my character is a real jerk." He uses a more X-rated word than that. So they know what they're getting into.
And then finally, you mentioned earlier that you went into retirement briefly and came out. Maybe that was a little bit of a joke, but at the same time, what about your daily process? Are you writing on a daily basis? I mean, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I do because I still, I have to do it. I'm still working. I'm still doing shows. I just came off a 12-theater tour that went from Washington State down to Florida and points in between. I'm still doing it every day. I was thinking about so many people ask me since I live in Washington if I watch the House of Cards, and I can tell you that the House of Cards is not authentic at all because they downplay the sleaze.
very nice. Well, I'm looking forward to having you come to Buffalo. It's always great to have you back for sure, and we do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mark Russell. Bye-bye.